Again, welcome to Christ Covenant. So glad that you're here today. And I also just want to welcome everybody listening online. We have many people that have told us, hey, we're traveling this weekend, or we have many in our church that are actually sick at home or sick in the hospital. So we want you to know you're listening today. We're praying for you. Come on, church. Can you let them know? We're praying for you. We love you. You're on our hearts and you're in our thoughts and prayers. Well, today I'm excited because we're continuing in a series that we're calling Generosity. And really, the series is all about this idea of unlocking the heart of generosity that's inside of us, God's people. And so I'm excited about it. We're in part two today. And I think you would agree with me on this one, this thought. But unfortunately, us as Americans, we have a pretty bad reputation when it comes to generosity. In fact, the first word that comes to people's minds when they think about Americans is usually not generosity. Usually it's selfishness and not selflessness. And I think you'd agree with me on this as well. But far too often, us as Americans, we're not pointing the finger at anybody but ourselves today. But we're known for trying to accomplish what we call the American dream. Like, that's what we're trying to do. And can I tell you today what the American dream really is? It's us trying to accumulate more wealth. That's what it is. We can put whatever we want on it, and we can paint that pig up, but it's still a pig, y'all. And it's not really that great of a dream. And so we want more, not pointing fingers at anybody else but ourselves. We want more, and we want it all. And instead of our lives being defined by generosity, it's defined by selfishness. It's what we're known for as Americans. There's a book that came out a while back, and it's called The Millionaire Next Door. I don't know if you've read it before, but here's the premise of this book, and I think it'll be helpful for us jumping off here today in part two of this message. But the premise of the book is this. There are some researchers that went out, and they want to discover, like, what do lives look like for millionaires? Like, how did they earn their money? How did they get their money? How did they handle their finances? How do they budget? How do they spend things? They wanted to find out, what do people really look like who have accomplished, quote unquote, the American dream? And so they went to the rich neighborhoods, which makes sense. And they went to those neighborhoods and they started talking to people. And here's what they realized in this book. You'll find it in there. They realized that, yes, those people in the rich neighborhoods, they had a big house. They had a lot of cars. They went on fancy vacations. They had a lot of stuff, but they didn't have a lot of money. It was interesting. It actually shocked the researchers, and maybe it shocks you as well. They had a lot of things, don't get me wrong, but they also had a lot of debt, not a lot of money. And the book talks about, and I read this, that those kind of people, they are what we would call pretenders. They're pretending to live a lifestyle that they can't afford to live. And again, I think we're on common ground here today, whether we have a little money, no money, or a lot of money. But too often, us as Americans, we are pretenders. We're doing things that we really shouldn't be doing. We're living in such a way that we really shouldn't be living that way. And here's what I know to be true. Because of this, it has handicapped us. It has handcuffed us. And we can no longer be the generous people God's called us to be. It's just the truth of the matter. Here's what I know about you. I know that you have it in your heart that you want to be generous. I know it's in your heart. I've met many of you. I've had deep conversations with many of you. And you have in your heart, you want to be generous. In fact, if I polled everybody in this room and asked you, do you want to be generous? 100% of you would say yes. But here's the next statement right after that. We can't afford to. I want to be generous, but I'm handicapped. I'm handcuffed. I cannot be generous like I would want to be. And so the researchers, they kept going out, and then they said, you know what, we can't find anybody in these rich neighborhoods that's really wealthy, that like has money, so we're going to go to the next best thing. We're going to go to the middle-class neighborhoods. That's what they decide to do. So they go to the middle-class neighborhoods, more than likely the neighborhood that you live in, and they started to interview people there, and there's where they found the millionaire next door. They found an average-looking family that was doing unaverage type of things. They found families that actually spent less than they made. They found people that actually saved money. Isn't that a novel idea? Like, they actually saved money. They found people that were so generous with what they had been given, and so many people around them had no idea that they were the millionaire next door. They bought used cars. They stayed in the same home for year after year after year. They went on nice vacations, but not the best vacations. They were generous to everyone around them. They found the millionaire next door. And so for many of us, we're in such a place where we want to be generous, but we just think, if I could just make a little bit more money, then I could be generous. Have you ever thought that before? I've thought that before. That if I could just make a little bit more, things would be so much easier. But can I tell you something? And it's truth, and it hurts a little, but it is truth. That if you made more money, you still wouldn't be more generous. Because you're not managing well what you have right now. And so I believe it's in your hearts to be generous, but we've got to make some godly changes to get there. And we've got to stop being the pretenders that we are. If you have a copy of God's word with you, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And I'm about to read some stuff from Jesus. And so it's going to be in red in a lot of your Bibles if you got one with you. If you got a Bible app, it will probably still be in red. And if you don't have a Bible with you and you're here in this room, we'll have it on the screen here in a second. But Matthew chapter 6, Jesus talks about some of the things we're talking about today. And we're going to start in verse 19 and go all the way through verse 24. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. I'm reading now the NIV, but whatever translation you have, it will work for you. Here's what God would say to us. In fact, here's what Jesus would say to us. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin they destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But verse 20 says something differently. But instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. This is a famous verse that a lot of people don't even know. It came from the Bible. But where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Today I'm challenging us to not pursue the American dream, but to pursue God's dream for our life. And here's the title of my message if you'd like to take notes in church, which is the best idea. So I hope you'll do that. But we're calling this message today, Right on the Money. Right on the Money. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. And I just pray for every heart that's listening here in this room and those that are listening, honestly, God, in a hospital bed or they're at grandma's house, they've already traveled. I pray for each and every single one of us, Lord, that you would help us to be open to what you want to say and what you have to say, even if it's a difficult truth, it's still truth. And God, I believe this and I know this to be true, that these great people, they have a heart to be generous, but they're handcuffed right now because there's things happening. There's a lifestyle that's not honoring you and it's stopping them from being the generous people you've called them to be. And God, we don't need 100K more. We don't need this new fancy job or three jobs and then we'll be generous. God, there's secrets that you show us here from your word that will help us right now, no matter how big or little our income, to be generous to those around us. God, you've called us to take the good deed and connect it to the good news. And so may you help us to do that here at this church in this body of people. Lord, we love you. Help us to get there. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. As I said a moment ago, Jesus is speaking here in Matthew chapter 6. That's why it's in red in many different Bibles. And not only that, but you need to know a little context here. We jumped into the middle of one of Jesus' most famous sermons. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, in Matthew, the first gospel, the first book in the New Testament, Jesus, starting in chapter 5, all the way through chapter 7, is preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in this text, and all throughout those chapters, that book, and the entire Bible, Jesus and God, they talk a lot about money and possessions. Money and possessions. You may be wondering to yourself, why would Jesus talk about money? Why would the Bible talk about money all the time? And I can tell you right now, it's because money is important. It is. I've said this a lot of times, and I'll say it again. If you don't think money is important, give me yours. I'll take it. I will. I'll handle it for you. Like, money is important. It takes money to live. It takes money to do ministry. So not only is money and possession, not only are they important to us, they're important to God as well. And if you don't believe me, let me give you some cold, hard facts. It is a for sure 100% truth that God's word, the Bible, there's over 2,000 verses. Over 2,000 verses that talk about money and possessions. And did you know that half of that, about 1,000, are about faith and prayer? So double that amount, God's word talks about money and possessions. If that's not good enough for you, let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus talked more about money than he did heaven and hell combined. If you don't believe me, look it up for yourself. It's the truth. And so today, if there's like anger, because I know when any time a pastor speaks on money, I mean, there's that anger that rises up. I'm going to get 5 emails probably this week. I cannot believe, Pastor, you talked about money. I want to tell you today, honestly, I love you. And I'm so glad that you're here. And I want you to tell you, I'm honestly okay with you being angry. I am. But you shouldn't be angry at me. You should be angry at God. I'm just saying, your anger's in the wrong place. Because Jesus talked more about money and possessions than I do. I've been here a year tomorrow, and you can look back at every single message. Thank you. I'm not doing it for a clap. I'm not doing it for a clap. Here's what I'm trying to say. A year tomorrow, and you can look at every single message that I've preached, and I talked a lot more about heaven and hell and faith and prayer than money. But Jesus talked more about it. So it's important to us, it's important to God, and we've got to get better with how we handle our money, so we can be the generous people God has called us to be. Now, is generosity all about money? Absolutely not, but it's a big part of it. So the first point is this. If you're taking notes in church, Jesus was right on the money. Here's the first point. Jesus is calling out to us to avoid the money pit. Would you write that down today? It's good advice from Jesus. Jesus wants you and myself to avoid the money pit. We see this in the first 2 verses we read. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up treasures in heaven where they don't destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. I love this about Jesus, but Jesus wants us to avoid bad investments. He does. He's looking out to you today and saying, you know what? There's some things that you're investing into that are not great investments. Honestly, I think about it like this, almost like Jesus is like screaming from the rooftops, do not support the Nigerian princess, okay? Like, I just visualize it this way. Like Jesus is shouting out to you today, don't buy snake oil. Like, it won't work. Like, do not do this. I got to tell you today, if the Ponzi scheme seems too good to be true, it's too good to be true. It just really is. Like, I'm just being honest with you, you can't make $1 million a year by working 2 hours a day at home in your pajamas. It just doesn't work like that. Like, do not accept your free cruise that you get that call. Like, it's a scam. And that's what Jesus is saying today, that so often we invest our money in earthly things and the return on investment is horrible. It's the worst ROI you can get. And instead, Jesus is saying this to us today, that I want you to invest in things that will matter for eternity, eternal investments. I don't know about you, but I would have loved to get in early on Google and Amazon stock. Would have loved to do that. Would have been a great thing. But I got to tell you, your ROI when it comes to heaven is far better than both those. It's just the truth. Been amazing to get in early on those, but you've got a chance right now. The best investment ever, and that will last for forever, is things that will go into eternity. So this begs the question, and I want you to get ready to write this down, but this begs the question, what are eternal investments, right? Like, what does it look like to store up treasures in heaven? If we shouldn't store up treasures on earth and we should in heaven, what does that look like? I hope you'll write this down. It's real simple, actually. Treasures in heaven are anything that will last for eternity. That's it. Anything that will last for eternity. What does this mean? It means this. Anytime you put God first, you are making an eternal investment. Would you think about this today? That when you make a decision on a job with your kids, are you going to marry this person or not marry this person? Are you going to split up? Are you going to move here, go there? And every decision that you make, if you ask God, God, what do you want me to do? Then you are putting treasures, you're storing them in heaven. When you go through and you have to make a decision, big or small, when you say, you know what, God, I want your will to be done and not my will to be done, you are storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. When you give to the church and you give to others, when you use our random acts of kindness cards that aren't really random, they're more on purpose, when you connect the good deed to the good news, you are making eternal investments. Anything that's wrapped up in eternity is storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So here's what Jesus is saying. Just want to make it as simple as possible today. He's saying this: when you put me first in your thoughts, your words, your decisions, your time, your talent, and your treasure, when you are living your life to please me, Jesus is saying, you are investing correctly. Never forget this. I hope this will be seared into your soul today. My money in my hand is the most it will ever be. But my money in God's hand is the least it will ever be. It's how it works. It's an eternal investment. It doesn't just double, triple, quadruple. It goes on and on forever and ever. God's calling out to us that we've got to avoid the money pit. Now today, like we normally do, we're going to keep looking at the mirror. Because we're not dare calling somebody else at some other church or man, you know, Aunt Susie really needs to hear this message, Pastor Ryan. I'm going to send her this link. Like, we're looking at ourselves today. The problem's not with others, it's with us, okay? So let's look at the man in the mirror. Thank you, Michael Jackson, okay? And let's make sure that we get this right with ourselves. Because here's what I know. We will celebrate the kinds of things I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, eternal investments. Come on. Yeah, man, that's awesome. But let's be real, it's hard to live that way. It's really hard to live that way. More than a day because you feel guilty because the pastor's talking about it. But to live a lifestyle of generosity, a lifestyle that puts God first in everything, it is very challenging to do. Think about it like this. I said this before. But we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. It's just the truth. And so it's hard to live the right kind of life. I'm going to show you some stats here in just a second, because we are in a very dangerous or on a very dangerous path here in America. And when you look at American finances, it's scary. It is. And so I'm going to give you a few things. And more than likely, many in this room, many listening online, you're going to say, yep, that's me. That's me. One of these areas or all of these areas. We're in danger right now. Here's the reality of American finances, a few things. Number one, about 78% of Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. So that's 8 out of 10, 80%. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been in your career, how much money you've made. It's everything that comes in, whether it's big or small, we're spending, and usually it's even more than that. That's my next point. The average American has over $16,000 in credit card debt. That's average. So that means some will be more, some will be less. We're handicapped. We're handcuffed. We can't be the generous people God's called us to be because we're borrowing. We're spending more than we make. Here's another one. If you have student loan debt, the average American with student loan debt owes over $50,000. You see how this is snowballing? And we become selfish because we can't afford to be generous. Here's the last one, and this is shocking as well, but about 69% of Americans would struggle to cover a $1,000 emergency. And if you got kids and they break a bone and you go to the ER, you get a scan and a cast, that's your money right there. And it can happen at any time. If you got an SUV or a van, You need all four new tires, depending on what vehicle you have. That's $1,000 right then. That happens to everybody. And most Americans cannot cover that. I don't share these stats to make you feel bad if they apply to you. And based on those stats, they apply to many listening today. The reason why I share this is to almost shock you and wake you up that what we're doing is not working. It's not. There's a better way. And Jesus shows us the better way. We shouldn't invest into earthly things, but to heavenly things. We've got to switch some things up. So I'm going to give you a couple practical takeaways, and then I'll get to point number two. And we won't have a slide for this. But if you're in debt today, which most people are, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, which most people are, if you don't have an emergency fund, I hope and pray that this week, well, Pastor Ryan, you know it's Thanksgiving this week, right? You know, I'm getting on an airplane tomorrow. Like you understand I'm hosting like 50 people that I kind of like this week. Y'all don't judge me. You know it's fun to have them go, but it's fun to see them leave in Jesus' name. Y'all judging me like I'm saying something. I just say it out loud. That's the only difference right here. You're like, Pastor, are you serious? This week I got Thanksgiving, and then I've got Black Friday. I got three things on my list, Pastor Ryan. You don't even know. I understand all of that. But what I'm saying is we've been putting off these changes for far too long. And if you won't do it this week, can I be honest with you? You won't do it next week. You won't. So I'm just saying, if you're in one of those boats today, I'm encouraging you, that's all I can do, to look at your finances and to ask yourselves two questions. Here's the first one, not a slide for this. Number one, ask yourself as you look at your finances, am I overspending every single month or almost every single month? So am I spending more than's coming in? Doesn't matter how much you make, that's the difference there. Are you living beneath your means or are you living over your means? Are you pretending to live a lifestyle that you can't afford? To ask yourself that tough question today. And if you are overspending, which many people are, well, Pastor Ryan, we got Christmas coming up. I get all of that. I understand it. What a great time to make some of those tough decisions. To ask yourself honestly, are you overspending? And if you are, take some steps. It's a baby step. It's one step at a time. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. I'm not saying you go from like $70,000 in debt to tomorrow you're debt free. It doesn't work like that. Now, God can send you a check in the mail, and I know you'll receive that prayer in Jesus' name. I know you will. But I'm just saying it's little steps at a time. Renegotiate your bills. I'm just trying to get practical today before I get to point number two. We do that here at the church. I do it in my personal finances. I'm telling you, we just saved some more money last week here at the church. We're constantly doing that. Cut cable. Y'all have seen those creepy commercials, right, like I have? Like, cut the cable. Just use Netflix or Amazon Prime. You don't have to have both or all. You don't. At least not right now. Live beneath your means. Cut out unnecessary memberships. Like, you don't have to run at a treadmill at a gym that costs $1,000 a month. Like, you can run on the pavement. Well, it's bad on my knees. I know, but right now your knees can handle a little bit more work. Now, I'm preaching good today. I don't know what y'all talking about. But I'm just saying, like, you don't need those five subscriptions to all those magazines. Cut down to one. Like, cut some things. Move some things around. We've got to stop spending so much. There's some references in Scripture. If you want to jot them down, we don't have time to turn there. Proverbs 22:7 and 1 Corinthians 16:2. Here's what I know. Far too many of us were borrowers instead of lenders. And God has called us to be the lender. That's generosity. God's called us to be the lenders, not the borrowers, but we're the borrowers. Number two, the second question, ask yourself, am I trusting God or am I trusting money? Because here's what I know. When we trust money, it's not just a rich person problem. So many of us, we trust money because we don't have enough money. And so we're thinking, man, if I could just make more, if I could just do this. You don't necessarily need to get a second job to make more money. You just need to be happier with what you have from that one job. And so are you trusting God or are you trusting money? It's Matthew 23:23 and also Malachi chapter 3 verses 6 through 12. And I want to illustrate this. And in fact, I'm going to bring it over just a little bit so you can see me here. But I've got here some bread on the stage. And I've got here a little mic holder. I feel like I'm about to be on a cooking show. This is going to be great. Let's see if I can get this set up. I'm not going to do a solo, I promise. Let's see, check, check. There we go. So I've got here some bread, some French bread. And I want to illustrate this to you because God has called us not just to honor him with our tithe, our 10%, not just to be generous with those around us, but God has called us to give him our first fruits. And you'll see that in Proverbs 3:9 and a whole bunch of other places in the Bible, just preaching the Bible today like every single week. So I want to illustrate this to you. And so there's a few verses in the Gospels where Jesus gives what's called the Lord's Prayer. You've probably heard of that before. It's really better acknowledged as the disciples' prayer because Jesus says this is how you should pray anyways. And so we've got the Lord's Prayer. And with that, one of the things that Jesus asks us to pray for is give us this day our daily bread. And so that's what we got here this morning. And so I've got a piece of French bread. Here's what we do. This is not the correct way, but most Americans, we do this. We get our income, no matter how big or how small. And what we do is the first thing that we give towards is the biggest thing, and that's the mortgage, right? We only have so much to give, and so we cut off that big piece for the mortgage. Now, even if you rent, rent's not cheap either. Y'all know that, especially with Harvey and everything just went up and up and up. And so that's usually, as we look at our income, what we've made, big or small, that's the first piece that we cut off. And then next, of course, y'all know this, we got bills to pay. I mean, you got to have AC in the summer, and we're in Houston, so you need AC in the winter as well. It's the truth. Like, lights aren't free. I don't know if you grew up in the household that I grew up in, but like, with the AC, lights, everything, it's either coming or going. It's off or on. Like, you just got to make a decision here what you're going to do. And so all of that costs money, and so that's another big piece that we have to cut off here. And then, of course, you know, you've got this, and I mean, it's just so true. I mean, I'm holding bread right here. We got to eat, right? We need food. I mean, we got to put food on the table, food in our bellies. I mean, and not just any food. We need good food, right? I mean, we need locally grown, locally sourced, all that kind of stuff. I'm losing the audience here. I'm sorry. That's a big piece. You got to eat. This is a part of life. Well, what I shared a moment ago in those alarming stats, we've got the credit card bill that's coming. And even if you're paying minimum on $16,000 plus, that's a lot. So that's a big chunk that we got to cut off here. And not just that, but we talked about many people, doesn't matter how old you are, student loan debts. You're like, I graduated 30 years ago, but I'm still paying that thing off. And so we've got that as well. And not just that, I forgot about this one. This is a big one for us, is that we like to drive new cars here in America. And if we can't buy them outright in cash, which never happens, then we lease them or we have a huge payment with so much interest on the back end. And so we've got those car notes. And then you know what? We want to have fun too. I mean, we want to go see movies and we've got Christmas coming up and we got all these different things that we give towards. And oh, we had this emergency come up or the kids' teeth are messed up, y'all. We need braces, okay? We got to get this figured out. And here's what happens. We go through the entire month and then we get to a service like this and we feel guilty because the pastor's talking about being generous. And then we look at what we have left and it's nothing. It's nothing. In fact, I got a little bit back here. I've got crumbs. And I'm just being honest with you. This is what we do. You know it to be true. So we come to a service like this, and he's talking about being generous, and we look, and literally all we can give God is our crumbs. And I want to tell you today, there's a better way. In fact, here's why God talks about first fruits all the time. Because when you give to God first, it causes you to trust him and not money. So let me illustrate it again really, really quickly. So you've got another loaf here. And what God has called you to do is before you pay anything else, you say, God, I'm going to honor you with the first, whether it's big or small, and my first 10% goes to you. And then you do mortgage, and then you do food, and then you do bills, and then you do credit card, and so on, and then whatever's left over, you save. That's what God's called you to. It's a better way. And can I tell you something? In fact, can I give you a guarantee that when you honor God, he will always, always be faithful? He will. I got to tell you, the church is taking care of me. Like we're not poor by any stretch of the imagination, but you don't become a pastor to get rich. I'm just saying. But God has always been faithful. Every single moment in my family, in our heritage, he is faithful. And you'll always find him faithful in your life. All right, number two, the second point. I'll spend some less time on this one, but still very important. Jesus is telling us that if we follow the money, you'll find the heart. If you'll follow the money, you'll find the heart. That's that famous verse, verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And y'all know this is true. Y'all know. If I sat down or you sat down and you looked at a random person's receipts and bank statements, you could know what they love the most. Like literally, it's the truth. You wouldn't have to have one conversation with them, no history whatsoever. You could look at receipts and bank statements and you would know what they care about the most and what they care about the least. You just would. So if you look at someone's statement and it's all about the house, and y'all know we got adult toys, y'all know that. And you look at their statement and you see, man, they've been putting a lot of money in that man cave or that she shed. Have y'all seen that? Have y'all heard about that? I didn't make that up. That's a real thing. And so it don't matter what it is. You can see what they love. You can look at some of us guys and we're spending money because we're going to see this game and that game with our alma mater. And we never even got on the field, but we like watching people on that field. And we celebrate it and we put money towards it. We've got this thing. Like you could tell who people love the most, what they love the most if you looked at their bank statement. You could see, well, man, their kids are really important to them. You could see, you know what? They spend a lot of money on their vanity, what they look like. You can see, like here's what I know. You can lie to yourself with your words. You can lie to others with your words, but you can't really lie with your bank statement. Like it is what it is. It's right there in black ink what you care about the most. In fact, I'd write this down. But money is one of the most visible measurements of the heart. It is. In fact, all the women should have said amen looking at their spouse or that boy they think is cute beside them. Like amen. That's how I know that you love me. Amen. It's like it's one of the most visible measurements of the heart. What you spend money on the most is usually what you care about the most. And so I just want you to ask yourself this question this week. If you couldn't say a word and your credit card and bank card statements did the talking for you, what would it say about you? If you couldn't put excuses in there and you couldn't give all these reasons, like if you had to shut your mouth and let it talk, what would it say about you? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Again, don't be mad at me. Be mad at Jesus because he said this. All right, number three, the third point is this. It's going to speak to somebody today. I hope this is helping you. Number three, don't let your possessions possess you. This is Jesus talking. This is powerful. Don't let your possessions possess you. It's verses 22 through 24. The eye is a lamp of the body, Jesus said. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And I know what you're thinking today. You're thinking, it's kind of confusing that Jesus, God thought this, it's kind of confusing that Jesus talks about money and possessions, and then for two verses, he all of a sudden talks about eyes and lamps and darkness, and then jumps back to money. I don't know if you're thinking that, but I thought that when I first read this. And I want to tell you what Jesus is trying to say through all of these verses. Jesus is letting us know that he doesn't want our loyalty to be divided. It's exactly what he's saying. That when it comes to light and darkness inside of you, you should be all about the light and not about darkness. And when it comes to money and God, you can only serve one. And it's your choice. I can scream and shout and sweat and spit and I'm doing all of that. But it's going to come down to you making the choice. Who are you going to serve, God or money? This is a sobering truth for us today. But materialism is in direct conflict with loyalty to God. It is. And I'll tell you today, please hear my heart. There's nothing wrong with you having possessions, but do your possessions have you? Let that soak in. Nothing wrong with you having possessions, but do your possessions have you? This reminds me, quick story, this is true, of an Emirates flight a couple of years ago. This was on the news, but it crashed on the Dubai airport. And the plane, it was landing. They had hit the runway, but the radio tower, they radioed in to the pilots that you landed too late, and so you're going to run out of runway. Not a good thing. So they try to take off again, and they do successfully, but all of a sudden there's a downdraft, and they come in crashing on that runway. It was all over the news, I believe, a couple years ago. So the flight attendants, the crews, they immediately get into action, and thank God they save all 300 people on that flight moments before it catches on fire. It's an amazing thing, but here's what's sad about this, and here's why I tell this story. Is that when you would have seen people coming down those emergency chutes, you know, the inflatable slides that come out, you've seen that probably in the movies. As they were sliding down those, escaping for their life, trying to get rescued, you would have seen many people, this is true, they were holding and clutching their bags and their luggage as they came down. Many people were doing this. In fact, this happens all the time now because we all got a cell phone and we want to record these big moments. But later a video came out that somebody was videotaping on their phone during that crash. And you would see that the people, the 300 passengers, they weren't scrambling for the exits. This is true. They were scrambling for the overhead bins. Like, they just had moments before they died, and it wasn't let me escape, it's let me get my luggage. In fact, if you see the video, if you can find it online, you'll hear flight attendants screaming, "Leave the bags behind." And this is not like an original phenomenon just with this situation, this flight in Dubai. A study was done by the National Transportation Safety Board, and they found out that almost 50% of passengers attempt to retrieve their bags during an emergency. So it's not, hey, who can I rescue? Or can I make sure that I rescue myself? It's let me remember to get my stuff, because that's really gonna matter when it comes down to it. I don't care if there was an engagement ring in there. It's not worth your life. But that's materialism. You know, if the fire, God forbid, if a fire ever broke out in your home or your apartment, you get out first before you get your stuff. But so many of us, the first thing we go to is, I need this or that. Or do you know how long I worked to buy that thing? It's just stuff. So Jesus is telling you and me today, nothing wrong with having possessions, but do your possessions have you? And this is what I felt in my heart before we pray. I felt this all week long, including as I was writing this message early on in the week, but as I prayed through it and even early this morning and last night, here's how I felt like we needed to end the service. And this is not going to be you, me, and God. This is going to be you and God. It'll be a private thing. But I honestly felt like people listening today, there's several that need to repent for materialism. Just being honest with you, that's what I felt. That if you looked at your spending habits and what you've been thinking about and what you've been focused on, it's all been about money and not God. If I just have more money or more stuff, it's not going to satisfy you. It's temporary. So I just felt that in my heart that some people need to repent today. So would you close your eyes with me? It's just you and God right now. You don't need to say anything out loud. Just in your heart. Holy Spirit, I just pray, whoever that is, I just pray, God, that you would show them clearly right now that that's them, that word's for them. That, God, they've almost been making materialism their God. It's a false God. It's who they've been serving. And Jesus, you tell us clearly in your word that we can't serve you and money. We want to, we think we can be the one family or the one person to figure out the balance, but it doesn't work that way. This is not me talking, a mere man. You said that, Jesus. So for the people listening today in this room or online, and that word's for them, I just pray, God, in their heart, in their soul, that they would repent. It doesn't have to be out loud, it's just them and you. That, God, if they've been serving money and not you, I pray, God, that they'd repent before you. God, I know me, I repent anytime that I put money before you. We can only serve one master, and you're called to be our master. Forgive us, God. We have a heart to be generous, but we've been living in such a way that doesn't fulfill our heart. So God, may you give us the courage and the strength today and moving forward to make the difficult choices, to readjust our appetites, to honor you first, to trust you. God, you've called the church, you've called us as Christians, the Christ followers in the room, to be the most generous people on the planet. That anytime there's a need, and we feel you leading that way, that we would be able to meet that need. That anytime there's somebody hurting or broken, and not just money, but even an act of service or our time, that we would be those people that make room to be your hands and be your feet, to love others, not just with our words, lip service, but with our actions. Help us to do that today. And eyes closed, heads bowed. As the Holy Spirit's leading and drawing, I want to do what we do every single week. But if there's anybody underneath the sound of my voice, that right now you almost feel like the Holy Spirit's coming in and like tugging at your shirt, at your soul. The Bible tells us what you're experiencing is called the conviction of the Holy Spirit. It's God Himself in love drawing you to Himself. He's saying, you know what? I know that sin. I know that baggage. I know those decisions you've been making, and it's time to get things right. Because here's the truth, that your sin and my sin, it separates us from God. It puts up a wall, a blockade, whatever you want to call it. There's a gap between us and God. And God didn't put that gap there. We did with our sin. And so right now, out of love, the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Himself because He's not happy with that gap. He wants it closed. He wants a relationship with you for the first time or again. And not just that, but it's why Jesus came to this earth. That's Christmas. It's why He was born in a manger and He lived a sinless life. It's why He died on the cross. That's Good Friday. In fact, I'll tell you this, you were on His mind when He was hanging on that tree. But Jesus didn't just die for you. He also rose from the dead for you 3 days later. It's called Easter. So because of what Jesus has done, the gap can be fixed. Jesus has done all the work. All you have to do is surrender your life to Him. He's done it all. All the hard work, all the sacrifice. He gave it all. Talk about generosity. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't have to get perfect before coming to Jesus. Jesus will get down in the mud with you, put His arms around you and say, come on. Come home with me. I love you. Let's get this relationship right. So eyes closed, no one looking but me. And I don't want to make anybody to make an emotional decision. But if you just feel and sense in your heart right now that you are far from God and you want to get things right, I'm not going to embarrass you, not going to make you stand or usher you to some room. Nothing wrong with those things. But right now, right where you're seated, I want to give you a chance to respond. So if that's you, I want you to raise your hand in the air. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. God, you're so good. You can put your hand down. Anyone else? God, you're so good. You're so good. Here's what we're going to do. The three that raised their hand in this room, no one's looking still. Eyes are closed, honoring this holy moment. The three that raised their hand in this room and also anyone listening online, God can see you. Respond, participate as God leads you. But I'm going to ask you to repeat a prayer after me. And I say this every week, and I will say it again. It is not a magical prayer. It's not about the tone or the level of volume. It's about meaning it with your heart, because God knows your heart. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That gap will be closed. you'll be right where you need to be with the Lord. So those that raise their hand and all that Christ followers as support, because we are family, we are not alone in this. I'm going to ask you to say this prayer after me and mean it with all your heart. Come on. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I thank you.
I thank you.
For coming in.
For coming in.
And overwhelming me with your love.
And overwhelming me with your love.
Jesus, I sense you.
Jesus, I sense you.
And I love you.
And I love you.
Jesus, I believe.
Jesus, I believe.
That you died on the cross.
That you died on the cross.
That you rose from the dead.
That you rose from the dead.
And I ask you now.
And I ask you now.
To forgive me.
To forgive me.
Of every sin.
Of every sin.
Of every mistake.
Every mistake.
Close the gap.
Close the gap.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Help me.
Help me.
To live my life.
To live my life.
Devoted to you.
Devoted to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving me.
For loving me.
Come on, tell them this. I don't deserve it.
I don't deserve it.
I could never earn it.
I could never earn it.
But it's mine.
But it's mine.
So Jesus.
So Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For saving my soul.
For saving my soul.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen and amen. Can somebody clap your hands just a little bit today? If you're able to, would you stand to your feet all across the house? Thank you so much for being here. I want to let you know a couple of things. Number one, for those that raised their hands a moment ago, and then anybody listening online, you can send us an email, info@christcove.net, and we'll get you one of these. But hold in my hand a Start Bible kit. We talk about this every single week when people give their life to the Lord. Isn't it awesome that we talk about it every single week when people give their lives to the Lord? So these are free in the back. There's a connection card inside here, a letter from myself to you talking about your next steps. Please pick one of these up. If you know someone that just gave their life to the Lord, don't even have to go to this church. It's like this will help them in their journey. So please take these up in the back. No questions asked. As we talked about all throughout the service, please pick some of these up, these acts of kindness cards in the lobby to go out and connect the good deed with the good news. Myself and many others will be down here at the front. If you need prayer for anything, even safe travels, we'd love to pray with you. And lastly, number 3, 4, 5, or 10, whatever number it is. Lastly, next week, November the 25th, we've got a special performance that's going down as a part of our service. It will be a great Sunday to invite friends and family to be here yourself. Well, Pastor Ryan, we're coming in back in town on Saturday night. We'll see you on Sunday morning. It's going to be an awesome, awesome service. We hope to see you then. We love you. Happy Thanksgiving. You are dismissed. God bless you.